the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, we've had rent caps since 2016. Then it was brought in, so apparently as a temporary measure for 3 years, at which rents couldn't be increased by more than 4% per annum. But as happens with many things that are temporary in this country, it becomes quasi-permanent. There was a change in 2021. The cap was reduced to 2% increases, or the rate of inflation, if the rate of inflation was higher. But yet, there's been a lot of criticism of that as well, a suggestion that this has acted as a disincentive to landlords to build new apartments and houses to make available for rent. And there are changes coming to the rent pressure zones to be brought to Cabinet tomorrow. So apparently under the proposals, the current annual caps would not apply to new buildings constructed after a certain date. We have a couple of guests with us, and we are looking to have the Minister on the programme tomorrow after the Cabinet meeting. Let's start with you, Pat Davitt, Chief Executive of the Institute of Property Auctioneers and Valuers. What do you think is going on here, and what good do you think, if any, will it do?
Well, good evening, Matt, and thanks very much for having me on. I think it's very difficult to know what's going to happen from a government point of view. It's very secretive what seems to be happening, but there, all the talk is that the between tenancies, that the new tenant is going to have to pay the market rent for properties, and that's one thing it looks like, and that's one thing that I have been advocating for quite a while, because it's very, very unfair when landlords have a lower market rent than actually is the market rent, and tenants are paying that, and when a new tenant comes to take over the property after the tenant that was there previously of their own volition leaving have to charge the same rent, it's a bit ridiculous. So properties are going out of the market and they have to stay out for 2 years before they can come back in. So there are many properties more than likely out of the marketplace at the moment, and this will stop this. So what we're hoping
Can I make a concrete example of this? So let's just, for the sake of argument, simple numbers. For example, there was an apartment in a block, and all the apartments of, say, two beds were all going for €1,000, right?
Yeah.
And they could only go up in price by 2% per annum.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that if somebody left and decided that they were going to some other part of the country or whatever, that that apartment would have to be re-advertised and let at €1,000 plus maybe the 2% or whatever is going to appear, rather than the 1,500 that people might be prepared to pay for it.
That's exactly what's happening. And what's happening is the landlords in those particular cases now, many of them are not re-renting those properties. They're actually taking them out of the marketplace and holding them out of the market for 2 years until they can bring them back in and charge market rent for them.
So would that pay them to do that? Does it pay them to leave a property empty for 2 years, to have no money coming in on it, and then jack up the prices 2 years later?
Well, it possibly doesn't pay them, but at the end of the day, it's the only way that they can get the rent into market rent, and obviously the value of the property up to the value that it is. Because if you're selling, if you sell a property with rented below market rent, what you're actually selling it at is an investment value, and the property is devalued the same as the rent is devalued. So the landlord has no choice in those particular cases. And actually, Matt, what we're finding from this point of view, this is the first thing. It's going to encourage landlords to keep rental properties in the market. That's exactly what this is set up to do. And furthermore, IPA are advocating for this, that when this happens, that the landlords should be allowed to decrease the rent in those properties if they so want. If somebody comes to them, a tenant comes to them and says, look, I'd like to bring down the rent for a little while, the landlord is happy to do it. Presently, they can't do it, because if they do it, they bring down the rent and then they're caught by the 2% and they can't go up. So we're asking that, along with this scenario that I'm after painting there, that the actual rent should be allowed, landlords should be allowed to bring down the rent, but bring it back up to market rent if he so and when they so wish.
How often would that happen now, Pat? That's a hypothetical, isn't it? Because the experience that everyone's had of recent years is that it's a very rare occasion where you'd actually have rents reduced. Rents go up.
In general, rents go up, but I don't think that's the case on a micro level where you have landlords and tenants and they have good relationships. These sort of things happen. But if you go to the landlord, for instance, in a case like that, they have no choice in those situations. Like you've painted the picture of €500, that many, many properties are rented at 50% of market rent. And landlords have no choice but to actually actually give tenants a notice of termination to get them out of that property, and then they decide to sell it. If they don't take it out for 2 years, they decide to sell it. And then what they'll do is they'll buy a new property and they'll start off at the market rent for it. That's the only way they have of doing that. But when agents go to talk to tenants, many tenants are actually happy to pay more rent for the property.
Okay, but Pat, my understanding of what's happening, that the government is proposing, and we're awaiting details tomorrow, that none of that would apply to existing buildings anyway. They're only talking about this being for new buildings that are constructed after a certain date.
Well, I don't know that, but like, I'm just telling you what we're looking for, and that's what we believe will help the marketplace. I don't know about this 6 year, they're talking about 6 years that you can't change the rent for 6 years, but I'm not sure that this, what we're looking for is that if a tenant leaves the marketplace or leaves a tenancy on their own volition, that the landlord should be entitled to rent that property again and rent it at market rent. And that's the only fair way in the property business at the moment, because landlords have been subsidising rent from 2016 for many of these tenants. And like, really, if you go to re-rent your property again and re-rent it at a market that was set probably in 2016 or 17 or 18, it's very, very unfair. And obviously, landlords are not going to put their property back in the marketplace in that scenario.
Okay, Conor Sheehan, you're the Labour Party's housing spokesperson. So what's your understanding of what's going to happen?
Well, my understanding of it, Matt, from what I've seen so far, is that basically, you're going to end up with four different categories of renters in the private rented market. You're going to have renters that, for example, you know, in you're going to have one regime in relation to new build apartments. You're going to have another regime in relation to somebody who's in an RPZ. You're going to have another regime for somebody who's not in an RPZ. And it's all been done in a very piecemeal way. I mean,
sorry, that's three of the four. What's the fourth?
And you're also going to have a different situation in relation to new build apartments. And like,
sorry, Conor, does that not make sense? When you say it's piecemeal, but does it not make sense to have rules that apply to different segments of the market rather than trying to have a one size fits all approach, which doesn't seem to be working?
The reason I'm saying it's piecemeal, Matt, is because this is not being done in tandem in the first instance with government's new housing plan, which is what it should be. And there's been no reference either to increasing HAP limits, which haven't risen in over a decade. And there's been no reference in relation to homelessness, because government have signed up to the Geneva Convention on Ending Homelessness by 2030. And this is invariably going to lead to more homelessness and increased evictions.
Why would it lead to more homelessness and more evictions?
Because it's effectively going to incentivize landlords who are coming up to, say, the end of the 6 years to give the tenant a notice to quit in order to put the property back on the market for a much higher rent. And it's also not necessarily going to achieve for investors what investors want, because it's going to create two tiers of supply in the rental market. You'll have new stock and you'll have legacy stock. And there are some people out there from an investor perspective who believe that this could actually cause more landlords to actually exit the system because of the different categories that are going to be there.
And but Conor, aren't they essentially two different things, though? I mean, aren't new stock and existing stock two different classes of rental property which should be treated differently?
They are two different classes of rental property, but my priority here in particular is renters. And what you're seeing is a system here where renters are essentially being thrown under the bus by government in an attempt to satiate large institutional investors. And government's own Housing Commission report recommended moving to a system of reference rents. There's absolutely no reference to this in these proposals. And I believe that these proposals are going to cause investors to bulk buy new build homes and further lock putative first time buyers, people like myself, out of the market.
But Conor, hold on a second. Haven't we got an issue at the moment that these investors are not financing the construction of any new apartment blocks? Even if they were, these apartment blocks were never going to become available for families or couples or individuals to buy.
Well, the first thing I would say is that, you know, you had an issue there with rising interest rates from quarter one of 2022 because of the war in Ukraine. We also have an issue here whereby it's €200,000 cheaper per unit to build an apartment in Belfast, which is essentially on the same island. It uses the same supply chains. So it's very clear that there is an issue there in relation to apartment construction. But government launched the Croí Cónaithe Cities Fund in order to stimulate apartment construction. That only delivered 12% of its target. It delivered nothing in Waterford, nothing in Limerick, nothing in Galway. There is a need to actually look at that scheme again, to tweak it, to incentivise developers to build apartments of a lower density in regional cities like Limerick and like Waterford. So it's not as simple in my view as just this new system. I don't believe that this system will necessarily lead to A, an increase in supply, or B, supply that anybody can actually afford.
You said they're incentivized builders. Is that what the Labour Party would actually feel is part of the solution?
Well, I've always believed that, you know, small and medium builders in particular are part of the solution. We believe the state should play a greater role. I suppose from my point of view, any incentives that are introduced, they must actually be passed on directly to putative first-time buyers or to renters. We cannot have a situation where we're returning to the bad old days like Section 23, but I personally am open-minded to anything that's evidence-based and will lead to an increase in supply.
Okay, we'll see what happens tomorrow. Pat Davitt from the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers was with us earlier. Thank you. And that was Conor Sheehan, the Labour Party's housing spokesperson.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.